You are listening to WRUU Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM and WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with global soul. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Parenting Room 101. Happy New Year. I'm so happy to have you with us today. My name is Christy Sanborn. I'm your host here on the show. I am so excited to introduce a good friend of mine today. Her name is Rhonda Collier. Here's a few things about Rhonda that I know you'll enjoy. Rhonda was born in Motown, Detroit. She lives in Bel Air, Florida. She's a rescue dog owner. She's a self-made entrepreneur. She's a nature lover. She's the top 25 income earner with Isagenics. She's in a devoted and loving relationship. She's a sister, a daughter. She's a leader. She's the queen of freedom. And she used to live next door to Matthew McConaughey. Welcome to the show, Rhonda.
Thank you. You made me tear up. Thank you.
Oh, it's a pleasure having you. How are you today?
That was fun, by the way, living next to Matthew McConaughey. I tell you what, going outside and watching him get the mail with his shirt off, that was really fun.
I can't imagine. And I remember when you told me that story when we first met, and I was thinking for the show today, how am I going to get that in the show somehow? Because I want everybody to know that's just such a cool little, you know, it's just such a neat little slice, really, of your gorgeous life you've created for yourself. And it may not even seem like a big deal to some people, but I just think it's just fascinating that you've had so much experience in the world. So welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm honored to be here. I'm honored to share my story. And I think the new year is such a great time to talk about stress and learning how to transform our physical and, you know, emotional reactions from ones that disempower me to one that empowers me. Mm-hmm. And what a journey I've been on. So I'm excited to share, and thank you for having me.
Oh, I can't wait to get into it, Rhonda. I have so many great questions for you today. First of all, a part of the show is I like to ask people if they know what their name means. Do you know what Rhonda means? Have you ever looked it up?
Not Rhonda. I've looked up Collier, my last name, and that came from coal miners, but I never looked up the first name.
Okay, well, get ready, because I think you're going to enjoy this. So, Rhonda means circle or wheel, and the circle represents unity and eternity. So, your name creates an energy of safety for yourself and for others, Rhonda. That's what it said when I looked it up. I mean, really, that's you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
I know, it's so
that's
beautiful.
Amazing.
Let me ask you a question. Does the circle ever call to you, or a wheel symbol? Has that ever been something in kind of your subconscious that you've noticed over your life?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I definitely feel that. I can just remember like different jewelry that I'm attracted to, right? Which are symbols, right? Mm. Circles are big in that for me. Yeah.
Well,
I could say yes.
Beautiful. So I want to share a little bit about how we met. We actually met at a bar in Dallas, Texas for a company event that we were both attending. And my first impression of you was just, you were so beautiful. You're sporty. You're just, your openness, you're luminous. You're just a ray of light. So I wanted to share that with everybody. That was my first moments in your presence. So cheers to that. Cheers to you being all those things and more.
Well, cheers to you for being in that room and for being able to even see those types of things. Mm. You know, I think that speaks a lot to your character. And I remember meeting you too. And I just was like instantly thinking, this is going to be someone. So this is one of my friends. I knew it from the moment I met you. I remember, I think that was the day I invited you to my house. I had just met you. I was
yes.
Like, come to my house.
Really?
Like, what? Really?
Yes, and I love that you brought that up, because even my husband's like, wait, where are you going? I'm like, oh, I met this lady. She's cool. She invited me to come stay with her for a few days in Florida. And he was like, oh, okay. I'm like, no, trust me. It's great. I can't wait to hang out with her. We really got to know each other through just spending time at your house, really not knowing each other. So I think that message is so strong, too, for people that are hesitant on exploring new friendships. I know there's a lot of women that struggle in this space. I hear it a lot, Rhonda.
Yeah.
As you get older, women say, oh, it's hard to make friends. But is it really hard to make friends? Or are you just cautious? Maybe you're overcautious. I don't know. I always love a new opportunity to get to know someone, especially when it feels so genuine and authentic like it did with you.
Absolutely. Yes. I agree. And it really, relationships for me, I'm learning more and more. I'm 58 now. I'm learning more and more how core, how vital a few very secure and, you know, great relationships are in our life. And then to be open to meeting as many people as possible, because it is through people that opportunities and experiences are going to come to us. And so, yes, I really encourage people, get out there and get involved and meet people and be open, because you just never know what is going to come into your life through just a chance encounter at a coffee shop or an event that you go to. So it, being social, having that taken away from us at, you know, back during COVID, and then having it come back to us, I now see how important it is. And I'm really working on that myself.
Oh, yes, me too. And I agree with you. And I don't believe anything happens by accident. I think that people come into your life as friends, as messengers, as guides, as mentors. It's just our job to see that for what it is and not over question it, right? Just kind of go with the flow more. It's 2026 more than ever. If you have these opportunities, lean in, really, because you just never know. Here, Rhonda and I are, I mean, all these years later, and it's just... I'm so excited to get to know you better, and I want to share a little bit about your story here. I want to start with dogs, though, as my first topic with you, because, first of all, I do think that you're an expert with dogs. I've seen you with your dogs, and I just admire you for how much love you pour into your dogs. And I want to share a little bit about before you had George, the dog you have now, you had Bella. And Bella was just such a special dog, and I was so fortunate to have spent time with her. And I want to know what... In your own words, what made that bond so special with you and Bella? Because she was so special.
Well, it's been an interesting experience with me and Bella and George, the dogs that I have attracted into my life. I feel like they are like little angels and messengers and mirrors for me to see the parts of myself that need healing and need love and light. Bella was this little 4-pound Maltese that, oh, I could just cry thinking about her. She was so fragile and she had so many health conditions. So she helped me tap into the part of me that was fragile, the part of me that needed healing, the part of my health that needed attention. I always laugh because with my dogs, like, I take better care of my dogs than I do myself, right?
Yes.
And I think we could laugh about that with dogs, children, you know, partners, sometimes businesses, whatever, right?
We can
serve outside so much more than we serve inside. And so Bella came here to teach me to take care of myself. And through being so diligent with taking care of her, and wanting to make sure that I gave her everything that I could so that she could thrive, I learned how to do even more of that for myself. And what a gift that's been. And she continues to impress that upon me from the other side. And so that was what she brought into my life, a healing, a mirror, and an opportunity to really love myself on a deeper level.
Wow. What a gift. What a gift she was to you, and vice versa, because she really lived the good life with you. She did. She deserved every bit of it, too. So beautiful. What a beautiful little dog.
Thank you.
Will you share a little bit about what was the season of your life like when Bella did eventually pass away? What was that like for you? I know you kind of knew it was coming, but how did you handle that, and what did that look like?
Well, it was, I had Bella for 11 years, and when she was making her transition, starting to make her transition, it was really painful for me. I was once again asked to grow and to learn, and I think that one of the greatest parts of that season of my life was a deeper understanding of death, that it's not permanent in the way that I thought it was, and to really realize, to become more comfortable with death, first of all. My mom's 80 now, and I'm looking at, you know, eventually her going on to her next form. And so that really was some of the work that I was able to do. And also to realize that I still have a relationship with this being, even though she's not in her physical form. And really synchronistic things happen. You know, pay attention. I'm paying attention to what shows up. And I was on vacation before Bella passed. I didn't even know she was sick at the time. So I wasn't, it's not like she was imminently passing. And I was on vacation, and I remember saying to my boyfriend, I'm like, I need a book to read. I need a book to read. I didn't bring a book to read. And I was walking around, and there was no bookstores. I was just in Aruba, so I was at the beach. And all of a sudden, I saw this table, and it said, take a book. Leave a book, take a book. And it's everyone could leave their stuff that they're finished with, and you could take. And so I looked down, and da-da-da, and I can't remember the name of the book at the moment. Maybe I will. But I pick up this book. I think it was called A Message of Hope.
Oh.
And it was all about communicating with beings on the other side.
Oh.
So I get this book right at the right time, you know, that I could really dive in and learn how to talk to Bella on the other side. And it really helped me tremendously. And so I think that phase of my life when, you know, when Bella passed, is I really deepened my faith. I really deepened my understanding of death. My acceptance of it, I'm not as fearful of it myself and with others, and more of a like, okay, this is part of living, right?
Yes.
And so that was a really, really great gift. And the grieving was very severe, but it doesn't last forever. It serves its purpose. And now there's just beauty and love and light, and my connection with Bella remains. And Bella brought me George.
Oh my gosh, what a gift. Before we talk about George, because I can't wait to do that with you, I heard you say about, you were talking about grieving and how it's excruciating and it's hard, but it doesn't last forever. And I think that people really need to hear that message, especially younger people today, when they maybe don't know how to handle these feelings as they're coming up. Maybe they were never modeled how to handle grief. How many of us were as kids? Did we actually witness our parents grieving? I don't remember my parents ever really grieving openly in front of me as a child. So how do we know how to do that if we never witnessed it ourselves? Did you have to teach yourself how to do that?
Absolutely. I'm a big seeker of information and guidance. And so, yes, I literally listened to YouTube podcasts and radio shows and books and articles and repeatedly so that I could help myself learn and grow and grieve and not stuff it down, to allow myself to really feel. And the first week I didn't ask myself to do anything. And I did listen to all the information I could, and it was very, very helpful. And I encourage anyone who's going through anything that is challenging them to seek the information that will help them understand and learn and grow, because that's why it's happening.
Yes. Yes.
It really is there for us to learn.
Yes. What was the best thing or the most helpful thing that someone said or did with you or for you while you were going through that grieving process?
The most helpful thing was just presence, not trying to fix me, not telling me that she's in a better place or, oh, you know, you're going to be fine, like not discounting it, just being present and just the text message, the phone call, and not trying to fix me. And, you know, when people are supporting people who are grieving, it's really beautiful just to say, I can only imagine how hard this is for you, and I'm here.
Oh, wow.
I'm with you.
That's so beautiful. And I think that's something that a lot of people need to hear, because they want to help so badly. It's coming from such a kind place in their heart. They just don't know what to do. And maybe, again, they never learned it growing up. So that was a beautiful message. And I hope everybody heard that. That's all you really need sometimes, is just somebody to see you and to pray for you and think of you and not try to fix anything, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that was really beautiful. And I had a lot of that in my life, and I was very, very grateful for that. And you know, grieving is very individual. Mm. It's a process that is very, very individual. And the message I want to share with anyone who might be grieving now or grieving in the near future, to remember it is not a life sentence. You will not feel like this forever. Mm-hmm. It feels like you're going to feel like that forever.
Yes.
But you won't. You won't.
And the only way to heal is to feel, right? You have to go through
That's
the
right.
feelings. You can't, eventually, I think the message here is to eventually you will have to feel it. Even if you try to suppress it here and now, it will come back. It doesn't just dissolve
yes.
on its own. It has to be expressed.
Yes, it mm-hmm. does. It has to be let free. It
yes.
does.
Well, thank you for all of that. It was so helpful and beautiful. I want to talk about George now. So you recently rescued your dog, George. So I'd love to know what drew you to him specifically. You said Bella helped with that process?
Yes. Well, I carried on a relationship with Bella after mm-hmm. she passed. And that was just, you know, thinking of her and asking, you know, communicating with her, asking for her guidance and support on things. And when I felt like I was ready to get a dog, I said to Bella, hey, Belle, you know, do your best. Help me find the next dog when it's the right time. Mm. And I know you're going to send me the perfect one for me, because all relationships are there for us to see ourselves, to heal the things that need healed, and to grow.
Yes.
100%. And so she said yes. And the very next day I was at the SPCA where I walk dogs. So it's not hard to find a dog when you walk dogs at the shelter.
Mm.
But I had been walking dogs for 6 months and maybe longer. And I didn't, you know, never felt like I had to take one home. And the next day, George appeared and it was very clear. It was actually Good Friday.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And there were so many synchronistic messages that George was the one. And I ended up taking him home on Easter Sunday.
Mm.
And it was just so profound to me that that was the weekend that I found George, you know, the resurrection and the healing. And
yeah.
I brought George home and I had absolutely no idea what I was getting into, because George was a highly traumatized, dysregulated mini poodle that was severely neglected. I don't think he was abused. He was severely neglected, but he was very, very dysregulated.
Mm.
And I had no idea that when you are in proximity with a being, mm-hmm. whether it be a person or an animal, that is in severe trauma state, I had no idea what that does to your state.
Mm-hmm.
And I was immediately feeling the trauma myself.
Okay.
And then I was like, wow, what is going on? Because I was having a very, very difficult time and I was feeling like it was my trauma.
Mm.
And then I realized it was my trauma that had been buried, the feelings that I had never been able to heal from my childhood traumas came up.
Oh.
And so there they were. There we were, me and George, both traumatized, and I'm being asked to co-regulate this, help this dog regulate.
Mm.
And it was such an interesting process. And then my mom was involved in that. So you guys, what happened was so profound. The healing of myself, the healing of George, the healing of my mother, the healing of me and my mother. This all happened over a 6 month period with George in my life.
Really? Wow.
Oh, it's been remarkable. And I think that as I look back and I think about everyone in the world, anytime anything shows up that is extraordinarily challenging, especially if it's something we've said yes to,
mm.
and I'm not talking, you know, there can be challenging things that you need to walk away from
mm-hmm.
100%, but things that you are committed to, things that are not abusive, things that are just deeply challenging, they're the greatest gifts in our life. They bring us this opportunity to feel what we need to feel,
mm-hmm.
to heal what we need to heal. And that's what we've been doing for the last, well, it's been 8 months now.
Wow. Did you notice yourself slowing down for George to help him slow down?
Oh, I didn't. Yes, I noticed myself slowing down.
Okay.
To help him So I was consciously choosing that. And then I was also in my own state of survival mode, if you will. I was really reliving some basic, you know, trauma from my childhood, being left alone and being scared and that type of stuff.
Yes.
So George was, you know, experiencing his, and it triggered mine. And it was so beautiful because it needed to be healed. It was running the show in my entire life. I'm 58 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I was operating from a place of feeling like overly responsible for everything. Like I had to control everything. Like I had to make everything happen. Like I wasn't safe unless I was controlling the situation. Like all of this stuff was running my life. I didn't even know it until George showed up.
Really?
Yeah, I had no idea. I mean, all of the success that I created in my life, from healing my body to healing my bank account to becoming, you know, a top earner and a top producer, all of that was really coming from a place of not feeling safe. And now, 8 months later, and doing all this healing my nervous system work, the parasympathetic nervous system, and really teaching my parasympathetic nervous system how to turn on. I want to talk about that.
Yes, please.
Now I'm in this place where I am like, okay, I can create even more from a place of safety and love and peace, and letting go of trying to control everything. So it's been an amazing journey. Very, very, very painful. Very, very, very difficult. Very, very, very stop me in my tracks type of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm on the other side of it just now. Just now.
Would you say that George's trauma triggered you in certain ways, like that activated your responses? Like, what do you know what your trauma responses are? Is it flight? Is it fight or fawn? Or do you know what yours is?
I was in a state of activation, which is fight or flight. I was mostly in a state of being feeling heavy, feeling like I couldn't move.
Okay, so freeze.
More of a frozen state. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, 90% I was in a frozen state. Like, that's what was happening.
Wow. And did you ever experience that before you had George?
Mm-hmm.
So you remember that.
Yeah.
And now you recognize it when it comes up, right? Now it's like, okay, that's what that is.
Yes, yes. Fear is a very, you know, fear is a very interesting phenomenon.
Mm.
And, you know, this fear of a moment or the fear of a situation and the fight or flight and the, you know, the freeze.
Mm.
So I've learned how to really work with this at such a deep level. I'm so grateful for it. And I will continue to do this work because now fear is not running the show anymore. Like, fear can be present, but it doesn't get to decide what I do.
Mm. Oh, that's powerful. That feels so good.
Instead of feeling frozen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, now that you're able to regulate yourself, and I know you spoke, we spoke yesterday about how you and your mom both had to regulate yourselves in order to help George. What was that like?
That was so incredible healing. It was profound. So here's me, here's my mom, here's this dysregulated dog. So the dysregulated dog needs us to breathe deeply and, you know, take a big deep breath in and a long exhale out, right? So that's turning on our parasympathetic nervous system. And then as we do that, he feels that and we can help him do that, right?
Mm.
I was literally sitting in a room with my mom on a daily basis, deep breathing, sitting still, deep breathing, and turning on our parasympathetic nervous system, moving slowly, talking calmly.
Mm.
And we sat there and we talked through things we had never talked through. Like, it was remarkable. I shared with my mom that I was molested when I was younger.
Oh.
And what was amazing, I never told her.
Oh my goodness.
What was amazing was that, A, she was so upset and understanding. She didn't try to discount it. And even what was more profound than that is she shared with me that she was also molested at 7 years old.
Oh my God.
And we had this healing in this living room with me and George and my mom that I don't know if it ever would have happened without George. Maybe it would have, but I know that it happened with George.
Oh my gosh. It was incredible. I'm so sorry. And I can't imagine what that must have been like for you and your mom. And
yeah,
I just can't
imagine. It was something to be able to witness each other and to hold each other and to have compassion for each other. I had a lot of resentment towards my mom. Mm. And I resented that she didn't keep me safe, and you know, all of that was able to be let go. It really was. I know she did the absolute best. Of course, she didn't mean for any of this to happen. You know, it was just like, wow, it was like so freeing to finally be able to talk about these things with my mom and many other things that happened in my childhood that, you know, and she was experiencing a lot of the same things in her childhood. So it was a really beautiful healing. And we went a couple months of really doing this deep work together. And I know for my mom, it has been very, very profound for her as well.
Oh, it must have been. Well, I mean, I can't imagine at 80 years old, she feels so much better now because she's been able to release this in a safe place with her daughter who loves it and admires her and forgives her. I mean, it's just full circle, just absolutely beautiful.
Wow. I truly believe that the hardest things that show up in our lives, whether it be a disease that we're facing or an ending or something that just is so painful and difficult to understand and to work through, I truly believe there are greatest gifts in our lives so that we can see things that we need to see and heal things that we need to heal so that we can do what we're here to do.
Yes, and not run away from it or numb it in some way.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which is
exactly. I mean, I had my share of numbing, definitely, you know, overworking, you know, watching Netflix and, you know, there's times where I definitely did the numbing and I still do sometimes. I catch myself.
We all do. We all have our ways of just avoiding, avoidant. Yes, of course. But just recognizing those things and not, like you said, not letting them take over.
Yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful. I would love to know, for someone listening who doesn't have any children, but has a lot of love to give like you do, Rhonda, what would you want them to know about you and your situation in your life? Maybe they have that mothering, nurturing energy inside of them and they just don't know what to do with it or how to express it. What would you recommend?
That's such a beautiful question. I would say to really, you know, drop in and ask yourself, where can I give this love? Where can I share this love? And you will be guided on where you can share it. It might be in an elderly community. It might be walking dogs. It might be becoming a foster parent. I don't know where God's going to take you, but I know that if you take that intention and that desire to love and nurture in the world, because it is, like you said yesterday, that's what we're here to do.
Yes, we are.
And if you feel like you've got it and you want to express it and you don't know where to put it, just ask God where to put it. And I promise it will show up. It will show up. And listen and take action when you hear the calling.
Yeah.
There's so many ways the world needs us right now.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So many ways. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love that message so much. How do you see caring for a dog similar to parenting in your own opinion?
Oh, wow. I can only imagine, right? What it would be like to be a mom, and have children. You know, George is, our animals are definitely, you know, like a child in so many ways. Mm-hmm. They need us. Mm-hmm. You know, they give us an opportunity to see ourselves, you know. George really will mirror, you know, I was telling you yesterday, you know, it was like I was thinking the other day about how much I projected onto George, you know. Mm. And I think our children are, also our children, our husbands, our coworkers, you know, and people and animals are ways that we really get to see ourselves. And so George shows up with this, you know, trauma or fear. And so I'm feeling this trauma and fear, and then I'm not taking action. And I'm saying it's because of George, right? But
yes.
It's really not
no.
because of George.
No, never. It never is.
Right. It no. never is.
No. No.
And I think our children are that way, too.
Absolutely. They're just shining a light on all the parts of you that are fragmented, that have been ignored and haven't been dealt with. There's parts of you that you just have turned your back on. And it's never the other person or the pet or anything. It's always you. And people hate to hear that.
And how empowering is that? I mean, to really own that, to really see that.
Yes. If you had a bad day all day, it's not everybody else. It's you. You were in the day. Mm-hmm. You took yourself everywhere you went today. So
right.
if it was a bad experience all around, well, you are the common denominator. So it's just about having the ownership and realizing if I continue to point the finger at everything and everyone, I can't heal. I can't feel better.
That's right.
No.
Blame is not going to get you the healing and the empowerment and the growth and the next level and the reality that you are desiring.
That's right.
It is saying, okay, I'm responsible for how I feel. I'm responsible. And it's a beautiful thing, you know. Now, when I was triggered with George, I went into severe anxiety and depression, like terrified. Like, I want you to imagine at 2 years old or 3 years old, being in a situation repeatedly where you don't feel safe.
Oh, my gosh.
And right. You know, you're a mom. You get that. Like, and so that was all triggered for me, and it needed to be. And so here it comes. And so what I had to learn is how to turn on the parasympathetic nervous response, because in a state of stress or anxiety or fear or blame or judgment or angst, our body goes into this fight or flight. Our immune system shuts down. Mm. Like, we're not breathing properly. Like, this is where disease is created when we stay in these states. And just like I said, we have to take responsibility for, you know, everything in our life. Taking responsibility for my state has been the greatest changer of my life. This is how I made millions of dollars in my business. This is how I healed my body from an incurable disease. This is how I healed my childhood trauma. And so there's very basic, simple things that we can do to turn on our parasympathetic nervous response. What does that mean? When we turn on our parasympathetic nervous system, that tells our body that we are safe. And in the parasympathetic state versus the stress state, we can rest, we can digest, we can heal and repair, we can have calm awareness, we can trust, we can have connection, we can have presence. And when we're in the stress state, which is the survival state, which is the sympathetic nervous system is activated, that's the opposite of all of that, right? We're in fight, flight, and freeze. We're in protection and defense. We're in hypervigilance. We're in controlling everything. That's a big one for me. To be able to let go of control is so big. Isolation, and we're in fear of the future, right? And we're not in the present moment. So we can turn on our parasympathetic nervous system. And what I did was I set a timer on my phone. This is when I was healing my anxiety, my control issues, my depression, my feeling like I couldn't move, I couldn't take action. I set an alarm every 15 minutes on my phone. This is pretty intense, but it's beautiful work. And it went off, and all I had to say, I would just take a deep breath. I'd say, what state am I in? There's three states: safety, right? Activated, or heavy, right? And activated is I'm ready to fight. I'm anxious, activated. Heavy, I can't move, right? I just feel heavy. I'm frozen, right? It's really hard to move in that state. And then safety is you're just feeling safe, right? So I would just ask myself where I am. And I didn't give it any judgment. This is the most important thing, Christy, that I had to learn, is not to judge where I was in that moment, but just to show up and be present with myself.
Oh, my goodness. What a lesson right there. I think so many of us are judging because we put so much pressure on ourselves to be so great all the time. That's just what society right. tells us to do. You have to be all these yep. things at once. So the fact that you're saying, okay, I'm all right here and now, and this is actually what's happening. And then mm-hmm. what happens after you admit that, okay, I'm in this heavy state, then what happens?
Yeah. So I'm either activated, I'm heavy, or I'm safe. Okay, great. Thank you so much. And then I immediately do a behavior that will turn on my parasympathetic nervous system. Mm. So a couple behaviors that I love. Laughter.
Oh, I love that. Really? That's great.
To start laughing.
That's great.
I mean, it is one of my favorite things to do. And I have a funny story about laughter. I was married to this really, really big international businessman when I was younger. Uh-huh. And I remember when he used to be doing these really big, intense business deals, right? And something would go really bad. I mean, really bad. Hundreds of millions of dollars bad, okay?
Oh, wow.
And I remember when this was my ex-husband. He was a very big businessman. Mm-hmm. And I remember he would laugh. The worse that something was that happened, the harder he would laugh.
Really?
Yes. And every time I heard him laughing, really, like just, he'd be on the phone, da, 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 and then he'd go, oh. And I'd hear him laughing like really hard. I knew something had hit the fan. Right? Oh. but here's the reality, you uh-huh. guys. Laughter turns on your parasympathetic nervous system. It tells your body that you are safe.
Mm, my goodness.
And when your body feels safe, see, you can't talk yourself out of being not safe. It's mm. not a thinking thing. It's a feeling thing.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, when your body's safe, again, you have calm awareness. You have connection yes. to source. You can hear God's messages. You can trust. You can do all of these things in a place of safety, in a place of not feeling safe. You're going to feel controlling. You're going to feel constricted. You're going to feel fear. And you're not going to be able to think clearly. Okay? So turning on your parasympathetic nervous system. So I set the alarm. Every 15 minutes, I check in, where am I right now?
Mm.
And then I do one of these, deep breathing, laughter, dancing, moving, shaking my body, singing,
yes.
yawning,
oh.
or humming.
Wow.
So all of those will turn on your parasympathetic nervous system. So what I was doing during this deeply, deeply, deeply challenging time where I literally felt like I was 1,000 pounds and I couldn't move and I felt depressed and anxious and scared. And I'm trying to figure out, like, what am I doing? I've lost my life. I wouldn't leave George.
Oh,
for
okay.
6 months. I would not leave him. I was petrified to leave George. George did not have separation anxiety. I did.
Oh,
I was okay. reliving being left in an unsafe environment when I was 2 and 3 and 4. Okay. So I was reliving it on a physical realm now. And so I was afraid to leave him. So anyway, I worked through it all, you guys. And no matter what shows up in your life, mm-hmm. it is serving you. It is serving you. It is serving you. And I would set this alarm and I would do this work over and over and over. Now it's the person you become through the process of facing your challenges in an empowering and enlightened way that is irreplaceable. I will never again be the woman I was 8 months ago.
Mm, wow. And you were pretty awesome 8 months ago, just saying. So
yeah, I had a pretty awesome life.
You've been awesome forever.
I really did. Mm. But there was some stuff in there that yes. needed healing. God knew.
Yes.
Spirit knew. I have things to do in this lifetime that I would never be able to do if I hadn't done this work.
No. Or you'd have to wait again for it to come back around. So there's always
yes.
opportunities to do the work, right?
Yes.
But yep. here was that golden opportunity. It was just pure gold because your mom was able to partake too in mm-hmm. your healing journey because she also had the healing on her own to do. So
yes.
this is just such an inspiring story.
Mm-hmm. we can use this, turning on our parasympathetic nervous system. Anytime we feel activated by anything, any stress, it doesn't have to be big anxiety like me and I was stuck in my home and couldn't move for 7 months. Mind you, that was pretty intense. But if it is that big, or if it's even small, I don't know, you get a bill in the mail and you feel stressed because finances are challenging right now, which that's a big one for a lot of people. And, you know, learning how to turn, so feel the stress. All right, this is really stressful.
Yes.
And I'm choosing to turn on the parasympathetic nervous system, because when you do, then you're going to get into a place where you are going to have trust, connection, presence, awareness, and you're going to be able to figure out ways to change and alleviate things and move things. Like, the information will be able to show up. Mm-hmm. You'll be able to get a new reality eventually mm-hmm. on whatever you're working on. So it takes you out of stuck. It takes you out of fight, flight, or freeze, which is imperative not only for the finances, but it's also imperative for our health.
It's debilitating when you can't be yourself because you're in that fear state. You're no good for anyone at that point.
And it can be small. Mm. And most of us are living in small, stressful states all day long.
Constant. That's right.
Constant.
Constantly.
And that's why I tell everyone, do the 15-minute timer exercise. Do it for a week.
Yes.
And just check in with yourself and be present. Are you feeling activated right now? Activated means you want to fight. You're like aggravated. You're anxious, right? Your anxiety is off the chart. That's activated. Okay. Mm. Take a deep breath. Mm-hmm. And with a deep breath, you go in, let's say for a count of four, and you blow out your mouth for a count of, let's say, eight. So in. Try it. It's remarkable.
Oh, it's such great information. And I hope everybody's listening and they took that down, because I think there's always room for more advice and more tools that we could use to feel better.
Yes.
A lot of us are chasing the wrong ways to feel better. And there are healthier ways to feel better, Rhonda, like what you're sharing here. It's beautiful.
You know, that's a very important point, Christy. I want to talk about drinking.
Yes, please.
You changed my life. You changed my life. Like, I was in this, when you came, I got goosebumps now. When I met you in that bar and I invited you to come visit me, see, that was God.
Yes.
I believe that was God bringing us together. And I serve you, you serve me, we serve each other. And I had been saying to myself for a very, very long time that I wanted to not drink. I was using drinking to feel better. Now, I wasn't an alcoholic. I wasn't getting drunk. But I was having a glass or two of wine every night.
Yes.
Okay, I don't know. Maybe that is an alcoholic, but I didn't feel like, I could go a month without it.
Yes,
But
sure.
I hadn't. Mm-hmm. And so it was a habit more than addiction, mm-hmm. I believe, for myself. But regardless, you show up and you tell me this story about how you and your husband decided to quit drinking mm-hmm. and how amazing you felt. And it was the perfect time for me. And I said, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And I'd been trying to do it for so long.
Oh my gosh.
And I did it. And I stopped. Wow. And I didn't drink for a year and a half. I was going to go 30 days.
That's beautiful.
So there's wrong ways to feel better, for sure.
Yes.
And that, I would say, is one of them, because there's nothing wrong with having a glass of wine with dinner, a glass of champagne to celebrate if you want to. But if you're doing it consistently to relax yourself at the end of the day, your body is paying the price for that, and you're really not bringing yourself the healing and the relaxation that you think you are.
No, you're not. You're escaping. You're just escaping.
Yeah.
And it could be better because, like you said, if you need the alcohol, that's the problem. If you can't regulate on your own and you can't do your deep breaths and take a walk out in nature without your shoes on and call a friend and feel that same kind of good feeling in your body, you need the alcohol for that. The alcohol becomes your friend. It becomes your intimate relationship. It becomes the mother you never had. It can be anything you want it to be. And that's what's so scary. And that's the slippery slope of alcohol. It will become all of the things that you need and you believe are missing in your life if you let it.
Oh, you are so brilliant. You so understand that. And
yes.
you witness that and you experience that and you figure that out.
Yes.
And if anyone's struggling with that, you know, I'm just going to share that you absolutely can change, and don't beat yourself up for being, you know, less than perfect. Just make a decision that you are going to figure this out, and then love yourself enough to figure it out and give yourself that opportunity to figure it out. I don't care how long it takes. It took me a very, very long time.
Yeah, me too.
A very long time to get to the point. I would say a good 15 years to get to the point where I literally said no more.
It feels so good.
But I was on the journey.
Yeah.
I figured it out, and you can figure it out. And I think sometimes when we have these things that become our everything, it's hard at first, and then we beat ourselves up for not being perfect, and then we give up, and da-da-da. And I just want everyone to know you can do it.
Yeah.
And find your help, find your solutions, keep going, and you will get there.
You will, and you'll know when it's time, because you'll, like Rhonda said, you'll have these conversations with people, and the messengers always come in different shapes and sizes. You never know who's going to speak to you, and God is speaking through them for the message that you need to hear at that moment. Maybe you've been praying for healing or praying for an answer, and it's showing up, and then you have the choice, really, to take action on that, and that inspired action is what changes your life for the better. I believe.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you. You really, and I never forget after I decided I was going to do 30 days with no alcohol, it was like everyone was so sick of hearing me. All I did was, I was like, I feel so amazing.
That's so funny.
I couldn't believe. I mean, I was only having one or two glasses of wine
Same
a night.
Here.
I mean, I wasn't, you know,
me
just
too.
Wasn't like I was
Same.
Drinking a bottle of, you know,
no.
wine a night or
me
fifth
either.
Of vodka or anything.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Me too.
Night and day.
But then that's the thing. But then I know for sure that I was seeking some kind of connection that the alcohol was helping with. And I had to get to the bottom of what that was. And even now, like in my younger days, I had a shopping addiction. I mean, I just had to go shopping every day for anything. It could be jeans, it could be shoes or whatever. You know, I just every single day I had to go buy something. And you get to the bottom of what that is, and it's your craving connection, usually. It's something, I was, at that time, I had a lot of friends, but I didn't have that intimate connection that I really wanted. So I'm so fortunate now to have my husband, who I know when I'm seeking that connection through anything other than God and healthy things, and my husband, if I'm looking for shopping, or I don't think about alcohol anymore, but then I know for sure that it's the connection that I'm needing, and I'll let him know. Hey, you know, can we get together tonight, or can we have dinner? Can we spend a little extra time together today? Because I know I need that, and I don't need to replace it with something superficial like alcohol or shopping anymore.
What a gift to your relationship and to yourself.
Thank you. Well, when we get back, I want to talk a little bit about your beautiful relationship with Noel. Before we take the break, I have one quick question, and I want you to think about this during the break. You've lived all over the world, and I'm just wondering, where's your favorite place that you've ever been? So think about that, Rhonda, when we come back.
Amazing.
We'll hear what you have to say about that. Everybody hang tight. I know this is such an awesome interview. Hang tight for just a minute. Be right back.
You're listening to your radio station, WRUU, which is presented by people just like you, people from your community. The voices you hear are your neighbors, coworkers, and other Savannah residents. Therefore, WRUU is your community radio station. So won't you please help by donating whatever you can afford to help your neighbors stay on the air? Go to WRUU.org and support your local radio station with a monetary contribution of any amount. Again, you can support your local radio station at WRUU.org. Thank you.
Art Southeast presents Sediment, Pouring It On, a project by Harry DeLorme in the Drive-Thru Art Box at Green Truck Pub, now to January 8th. Drive-Thru Art Box exhibits can be viewed any time of day or night. DeLorme transforms plastic debris, most of it retrieved from Savannah area waterways and beaches, into a visualization of consumption and accumulation. More information can be found at artsoutheast.org. TEDx Savannah invites individuals who are helping shape tomorrow through their work, ideas, and impact to share their unique perspective on the theme, Shaping the Future, for presentation on Friday, May 15th, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. in the Fine Arts Auditorium of the Armstrong Campus of Georgia Southern University. Application deadline is Saturday, January 17th at 11:59 p.m. The link to speaker applications is available at TEDxSavannah.com. Evening Eclectic features weekly conversations with and the music of national and international musicians from a wide range of musical genres. Join me, Dave Lake, your Evening Eclectic host, and these musical guests each week on Sunday nights from 8 until 10 p.m. on WRUU.
Welcome back to Parenting Room 101. I'm here with my friend Rhonda. Rhonda, what would be your answer to that question?
Oh my goodness, my favorite place.
Yes.
On the planet that I have spent time in is definitely the Big Sur, Carmel, by the sea area of Northern California.
Oh, wow.
It's such a profound place of beauty with the cliffs and the ocean and the redwoods all coming together. The nature there is prolific, and it's just such a peaceful place. It almost feels like you're just back in the day when nothing was here yet, and it's just so glorious and beautiful, and so I love it. And thank you for asking me that, because I need to get back there. I'm in Florida now,
yes,
living near my mom, and that's been great because I spent 30 years living away from her, and now I lived a minute down the street from her, and that's been wonderful. And but I do want to get back to Pacific Grove and Carmel by the sea and Big Sur.
Your happy place. Okay, well, hopefully you'll get there very soon.
Yes, thank you, I will.
Because it's calling to you, you know. If you feel that pull on your end, it's also pulling on its end. It wants you back, even for a little while. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
Thank you. That's a great, what I'd like to do is, Florida is a little hot in the summer, to say the least, as you know, and you're in the South.
Yes.
Great idea is to go out there and spend the summer outdoor somewhere.
Yeah,
especially
since you've already done this huge amount of healing recently. I feel like going back to your happy place, you're going to be, there's probably something waiting for you there. I believe. That's just what I'm feeling.
Yes.
I know. I think so. I believe so.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Very nice. Yeah.
So let's talk about Noel a little bit. I'd love for you to describe your relationship with Noel, if you could, in just a few words.
Noel is my best friend that 100% accepts all of me, and I accept all of him. And I have never had a relationship that is so unconditional, so supportive to our individual journey and our collective journey. And we've been together now for 10 years, and I really never had a long-term relationship more than 2 or 3 years my whole life. So we laugh. I mean, like last night we were laughing we laugh every day.
Oh.
And, we have very separate and very together lives. And I love that. I'm a very independent person. I was a single child. He was a single child. We both were single most of our adult lives. So we have very separate lives at times. And we have very, very, but I mean, separate meaning like he'll go to on a hockey trip and I'll go to a spa trip, you know, or he'll have a day where he's doing this and I do this, but we are soulmates. And I really believe that we, came to each other to help each other really know what it feels like to feel loved unconditionally.
Wow. It sounds like you complement each other in so many ways too.
We do. We absolutely do. He brings in, a lot of characteristics that, you know, I don't have, and I bring in a lot that he doesn't have. And we really have worked hard to acknowledge each other's strengths and put our attention on the things that are really, really great. I had a history of really kind of more avoiding intimacy. And he has been such a bright light at helping me work through that. And him too, actually. Mm. And so we've actually been healing together on so many deep levels, and I'm grateful. I'm really grateful.
I'm so happy.
And it's been really hard on him this last 7 months, really hard. You know, he's gone through, I mean, imagine having your partner go through this. I mean, it was really, really a struggle. And George didn't even, for the first 3 months that we had George in our house, Noel couldn't walk in the house without George, like, barking, mm. and he couldn't move.
Wow.
In the house. And we finally got that figured out. It was so sweet when we figured it out. We had a trainer help us. It was very beautiful what she did. And and now George is still a little apprehensive of Noel, but not like he was.
No. And like you said, it's not a life sentence, even though it feels that way sometimes. It will always take its course. And if you work on your own healing, then your presence is enough in any situation. Mm-hmm. Which is what it sounds like to me with you and Noel. It's beautiful.
Yes.
What does Noel do that makes you feel truly loved and appreciated by him?
100% acceptance of really anything that I am needing or doing, or, you know, like, you know, he loves to golf.
Mm.
And he always dated women that were mad when he went golfing. And when he met me, I was really happy when he went golfing because I know how much he loves to golf.
Exactly. And you love him.
I was like, so, I love you. And you love to golf. And if you love to golf, then you need to golf. Like, that is important, you know? I always dated men that were a little bit controlling. I'm kind of a butterfly. I like to fly away and come back and fly away, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I have a very independent part of me. And so I tended to attract people that were trying to just really hold me down. And Noel was never like that. He's like, oh, I'll see you when you get back, or, you know, and he's such a gift just to be seen and understood. And he doesn't try to change me, and I don't try to change him. And if we need something that we're not getting, we talk about it and we figure it out and we make it happen. So it's been really beautiful for me to experience that.
So wonderful, wonderful, and so inspiring. I love your story, and it's just amazing. So life just gets better, Rhonda, I believe, for all of us if we just keep showing up for
it. I agree.
Yeah, and for anybody out there who may be looking at their life and thinking, oh, I wish I could have this, or I wish I could have that, or I should be here by now, I would love to just share that message that you're just where you're supposed to be right here and now. You, everything in front of you is holy. That's what they say. You know, every moment that's unveiling itself in front of you here is a holy moment that you get to decide what you're going to do with it and how you're going to respond to it. And you don't need to look outside of yourself. Just take a look at what's right there and what you can do with it. And hopefully you'll handle it better than you used to. At least that's what I try to do for my life. Handle it better.
Yeah, it's all serving.
Yes.
And having the faith that it'll all work out. Mm. It always does. It's not a life sentence. It's a moment for us to learn and grow and to take responsibility for it. We can't change what someone else does or what happens in the world or what happens. We can't change that.
No.
We can only change our reaction to it. And first and foremost, learning how to heal your nervous system. I mean, as we heal our nervous system, we heal the planet. We heal the world. We heal, like, everything. So learning how to heal your nervous system and take responsibility for that and take control and take action for that, that's when you have connection and clarity and trust and faith, and you're able to operate from a very empowered place. And it doesn't happen instantly, but the more that I do these actions, the more I'm training my parasympathetic nervous system to turn on in moments of high stress or anxiety or fear, then what happens is it starts to become an automatic reaction.
Mm, beautiful. Well, we have just about 30 seconds left. I just want to thank you for coming on today and for sharing so deeply your story with us. We can all relate to your healing and your strength more than anything is what it radiates from you. So I feel it. I'm inspired by you. And I will post this link later today so that anybody who wasn't able to hear it live can go back and listen to it. And Rhonda also is offering a three-week class on Facebook about money. So I'll go ahead and post that so you can find her on Facebook. Thank you for listening. Thank you for showing up, Rhonda. God bless and Happy New Year.
God bless.